Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I would like to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, September the 19th, 2014. Hope you had a great week and are looking forward to an even greater weekend. We are live weekdays noon to 1 right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And if you're not in front of a radio, no problem, because we are streaming and podcasting the show for anywhere in the world listening at buckmastershow.com. And of course, there's live streaming also here on kvoi.com. And our media partners, Friday, at least once a week, we want to do a big shout out to them. TucsonSentinel.com, thank you. Inside Tucson Business, thanks. Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. And our newest media partner is Tucson Lifestyle Magazine and TucsonLifestyle.com. Thanks to all of you. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. Mr. Kasachek is a Democrat representing Tucson's Ward Number 6. Joining me in the studio to question the councilman is Sarah Garrett Gasson. Sarah is editorial writer, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and host of the Newsmakers interview series on the Star's newly reconstituted website, which is Tucson.com. How did you guys ever get such a great domain? You must have had it for years or something.
I think so, yeah. I think that's the way it worked. The Arizona Daily Star was one of the first newspapers to go online, so they were thinking prescient thoughts.
I guess so. They were thinking ahead because easy to remember if you know where you live and then just put .com.
Exactly.
If you have a question or comment for Councilman Kasachek, he would welcome any and all questions on our Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, and we invite you to become a friend of our show, where you just pushed past 3,700 friends on the Buckmaster Show, and thanks to each and every one of the people who join us on Facebook. So we have welcomed Sarah. Now let's welcome Steve Kasachek. Steve, how are you?
You're getting so many sponsors and so much of this social media stuff, your interviews are going to be like 4 minutes long.
Well, with you, that can be sometimes a problem, no, because you are very articulate, and I know you deserve at least a half an hour, which we are going to give you today. What do you know about the American evacuees coming up from southern Baja, Cabo San Lucas, from the Hurricane Odile? The word was that they would be coming to either Phoenix or Tucson. Have you heard any more about that?
Haven't heard any more other than that we've been given notice that the Coast Guard might be bringing some in this direction. We have a history, though, in this community of reacting positively to that. We did it after Hurricane Katrina several years ago, and I will just parenthetically say it's nice to be given prior notice, much like we were not given when ICE just started dropping people off at our Greyhound bus station. But the Coast Guard has let us know. And we prepared as a community, not we as a city, but we as a community prepared well when it happened with Katrina. We got out ahead of the needs in terms of housing and food and clothing and you know, all of what people were going to need, and we prepared well. And I think we will do the same thing again if they wind up here. There is a possibility, though, that they may wind up in Phoenix instead. Which is fine, but we're ready if given the proper notice, and we'll respond in kind.
Of course, the storm veered to the east. There was a wind shift of really just a matter of very a few miles, but there was a lot of preparation. Did the county and city work together pretty well on this one?
I'm going to say that the city did its thing, and I'm not sure what the county did, quite honestly. We have this history of working in silos, and it's been one of the burrs under my saddle since I started doing this stuff, that we have to take a more regional approach to so much of what we do. And this is an example of where we probably could have benefited from efficiencies and scale, and we didn't do that. But lessons learned. In that regard, can I take a half a second and talk to you about something that does represent a collaborating city-county?
Sure.
I'll save you a minute at the end of the show here.
Okay.
About last March, Sarah was gracious enough to let me write an op-ed in the Star on what's called the National Violent Death Reporting System. And just in a nutshell, it is a public health approach to, in this case, gun safety. And we had a model back in the 60s when a public health model was used to study automobile accidents and deaths. The result of that wasn't just a bunch of drunk driving laws. It was things such as collapsible steering columns and the seat belts and seat belt laws and the BOTS dots that you have on the side of the road that let you know when you're veering off. The model is not studying who's doing it, but what factors are involved. And so after that op-ed came out, a group up in Phoenix, actually the Arizona State University College of Public Programs contacted me, and they said that they would love to be the lead agency in terms of applying to the CDC for funding to get the state of Arizona into this reporting system data bank. Only 18 states were doing it, and as I'm sure you know, the more data you get, the more representative it is, and the more valuable it is in terms of your outcomes. And so, on Monday, the ASU College of Public Programs is going to announce that they have been accepted by the CDC for involvement in the National Violent Death Reporting System Data Bank. The county worked with me on this also, and so kudos to them for stepping up to the plate and offering to be a part of this. And it's a big deal because forever the NRA and some of the gun lobby groups have said you can't even collect data on gun stuff. And this is a situation where now the state of Arizona, multiple jurisdictions are going to join other states and sending this kind of data to the CDC for a nationwide look at these things. And so thank you to Sarah for getting the ball started with that op-ed, and actually thank you to ASU for stepping in and the county as well. So
okay.
When we do work together, we work together well.
Let's bring Sarah in.
Hey, Steve. Yep. The question you mentioned ICE before with bringing the refugees from Central America to the Greyhound Station downtown, and I know you were part of the group that was involved over there with getting people some assistance privately. And what's the latest? We've read that the numbers have fallen off some, but are people still coming? What's the latest?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. We just held a steering committee meeting a couple of days ago, and that involves the Catholic Community Services, the Jewish Federation, Temple Emmanuel, and several other nonprofits, including Humane Borders and some of the faith-based community. It is such a mixed bag because in terms of the numbers. We can have a day where nobody shows up, and then the next day 17 people will be dropped off. The challenge is that you don't know until ICE calls and says, we have just processed through four families. They include, six kids and three kids, for one, three kids for another. And so you don't know until they're en route, and we've got about 30 minutes notice. There is both a home set aside under the Catholic Community Services umbrella, as well as an intake center. Generally, what happens, let me back up a second. What used to happen was that ICE had somebody dedicated to while these women, and largely women and their kids, are being processed through the ICE protocols. They were also making arrangements for travel, and so when they showed up at what we call in Project Mariposa, when they showed up, they would have confirmation numbers. They would be dropped at the Greyhound station, and we would have our volunteers go and contact the Greyhound folks and get them tickets and contact their people off in wherever it was, Tennessee, or actually you had Perla Treviso travel all the way back to Delaware with one woman and her kids. Now what's happening, unfortunately, is ICE evidently has defunded that position, and so the people are showing up without any travel arrangements made. And you got to put yourself in these people's shoes to really appreciate what that means. They have left Guatemala largely under threat of physical and or sexual abuse. They have traveled multiple days, staying in four-star hotels, but on foot, largely. The stories that we get are very typical, that they are either robbed or raped or abused somehow en route, and then they're dropped off at the Arizona border and abandoned until ICE picks them up. Several days later, after ICE processes them, they show up now at the intake center. It used to be the Greyhound station. They don't speak the language. They don't have any money. They are dog-tired and dehydrated. And so what we are doing is we are simply saying, from a humanitarian standpoint, in my world, it's also a refugee situation, because if we were to send them back, and this is kind of where I cringe when I hear people just say, stop them at the border and send them back. Send them back to what? Send them back to the conditions they left fearing for their lives. We are then in a situation where we're just simply trying to put them in touch with their next of kin and get them on the road. Sometimes they stay overnight, sometimes they don't. But the numbers are all over the map, and they are not. I wouldn't say they're dwindling. I would say they're just a lot more inconsistent, and ICE is doing less before they get to us. So there's more for the volunteers to take care of.
All right. Thank you, Steve. It's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Steve Kasachek is with us, Tucson City Councilman. If you'd like to join the conversation, 790-2040. We're going to take our first break of the Buckmaster Show, an opportunity for all of us to listen to the people who believe in this program, and we ask that you support their businesses and their concerns, and we will be right back.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Jerry, What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business internet and voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Friday Focus interview today, Tucson City Councilman, Democrat Ward 6, Steve Kasacek. With me in studio, Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. A couple of folks want to talk with Councilman Kasacek about the immigrants situation. Walter has waited the longest, so Walter, you're up first on the live line with the councilman. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I want to know if the illegal immigrants are screened medically and if they have a criminal background check done. And okay. I have another question after you answer that one.
Well, can you give me all three of your questions, and then because we're going to have to move along. What's the question after those two?
The question after that is, if there were boatloads of illegal Chinese immigrants, tens of thousands of them coming into the country, in your opinion, is it okay to do the same thing with them? In other words, are we going to just let every country send, or people come from all different countries, like a free-for-all?
Okay. All right. Three-part question. Screening for health, criminal checks, and then is everybody welcome here in the United States? Part three.
ICE is doing the screening. And so to Walter's, the first part of Walter's question, ICE screens them. They don't wind up here without having gone through that process. And I would add parenthetically, because embedded in that question is the whole question of legality. When they arrive at the intake center or previously at the Greyhound station, they are here legally. They are here legally pending their deportation hearings. So we are not taking people who are here illegally and fostering that for however long it takes. Now, the problem is that the deportation hearing can take anywhere from 2 to 3 years to process them through. And so we could simply say, we're just going to ignore you and let you sleep on a cot in a Greyhound station for 3 years, or we can say we're going to find your next of kin, and we're going to have you, and this is what ICE is supporting, by the way, have you stay with your next of kin until your deportation hearing is scheduled by the Border Patrol, by ICE. Okay. That's, in fact, what we're doing. As far as just an open door is concerned, I don't discriminate based on ethnicity. He mentioned Chinese people. It doesn't matter. What we're dealing with is the hand that we've been handed, and that is people who are fleeing here from conditions in which they feared for their lives and their safety. Now, we had several stories that were not atypical. I'll give you one because I know you're short. We're short on time.
We are.
Okay. One woman, and this is typical, said that she and her sister in Guatemala sold candy on a street corner, and the gangs came and said that if they didn't split their take with them, that they would kill her sister. Well, the next day they were on the road, I am not in a position of saying to Walter, yeah, we'll just send that woman back to those conditions. We've received refugees from all over the world forever in this country, and when we hear situations like that where people fear for their life, I'm going to sit here and say, along with other members of this community, yeah, it's the right thing to do to receive them and then help them to process through their deportation hearings. I wish I hadn't read in the paper this morning that Congress had not funded more money to expedite the hearings, the immigration hearings.
Okay.
In fact, what they did is put money, more money into prisons.
Roger has been waiting on the live line at 790-2040. Another question about humanitarian efforts. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, Steve, at what point do you stop, though? If people go get boats, go over to Iraq right now, Christians are being slaughtered. They're not being taken half their money. Their heads are being chopped off. So if we bring in, say, $10 million, and it's going to financially bankrupt our country, right now people can't get jobs, is there at any point that you would say enough's enough because it's going to ruin our country, the ship's going to sink if we put one more person on it?
All right, go ahead, Steve.
You know, it's interesting. I'm working in the city of Tucson on the city council, and we are seeing people dropped off at the Greyhound bus station who, under the conditions I just described. Roger and Walter ought to be calling our federal delegation and saying, you guys need to engage in comprehensive immigration reform. Forget the fact that this is an election year. Set that aside and do the right thing from a federal level. I'm not going to sit here and argue federal policy. I'm going to sit here and tell you guys that we are dealing with a situation that's been dropped on our doorstep. We're not going to turn our back on that, and I'm not going to play the what if 10 million people showed up game, because that's not what we're dealing with. I'm going to address the reality of what's here on our doorstep, and the questions that Roger and Walter are asking are of a federal level. I'm not dodging that. I'm just saying we're dealing with what we got, and we're going to keep doing it.
Okay. I've only got about 5 minutes left, and I know Sarah's paper, the Arizona Daily Star, is going to be involved with this forum. Can you tell us briefly? I think it has to do with kind of a community gut check, if you will, about race in light of what happened in Ferguson.
Yeah. After Ferguson, I got reflecting a little bit and thought, well, we have a similar potential in this community because of a lot of the issues we've seen with a portion of our Latino community. And my sense is that our strength really depends on our ability to understand the realities of racism and really build new skills around inclusion and equity. And so I reached out to, again, Sarah's paper and talked to Tom Beal, who frankly has been around here. I think there are probably three people in the community, you, Tom Beal, and John Scott, who have been here since about the turn of the century, the last century.
Yeah.
The last century.
Put the three of us together, and you've got a couple of centuries of experience.
So Tom's going to moderate this, and I did not want to turn this into a let's bash on TPD kind of a thing, and so I contacted Clarence Boykins from the Black Chamber, Shelley Fishman from the GLBT Chamber, Leah Marquez Peterson from the Hispanic Chamber, Mike Varney, Metro, Reba Khalil from the National Association of Women Business Owners, and H.T. Sanchez and Lee Lambert from TUSD and Pima College, and said, how would you all like to sit on a panel and really do a lot of listening? And so I hope that's what we get from this, is that here are opportunities, here's what the business community has to offer, here's what the educational community has to offer, and we want to hear from you, the community, what are we missing, what are we doing right, what are our vulnerabilities, and what are our strengths? And it'll be on October 20th at Catalina High. The doors will open at 6 p.m. We'll start at 6:30. Real, real short opening comments from the panelists, and then a lot of moderated conversation between the panel and the audience, and Tom's going to take care of that part of it. So, you know, hoping there's an opportunity for this community to kind of have that tough conversation about a tough issue, but I think we can do it without coming apart at the seams.
Okay, here is Sarah.
I just want to say that I really like that you emphasize the listening, because I think that's something that we don't do a whole lot of as a community, and I'm not just picking on Tucson, but just I think part of it is human nature, where we can get so busy thinking about what we think and our experience and how our lives have been that we don't necessarily put ourselves in other people's shoes and take the time to expand our viewpoints. And so I'm really glad that you made that comment, Steve.
Well, I think you're right, and I hope that the listening also occurs out in the audience. so that when an audience member stands up, the rest of the audience is saying, "Hey, maybe that's a perspective that I hadn't considered either." You know, we'll have multiple demographics in the audience, and the community needs to listen to one another. You know, I'm sure those of us, Varney and me and Shelley and Clarence and Leah, we can sit up there and do a lot of listening, but the community needs to hear from itself, from within itself, and I hope that's what happens.
All right, let's go back to the live line. Christopher has been waiting at 790-2040 to speak with Councilman Kasachek. Go ahead, Christopher.
Yes, my question is, Councilman, is the city incurring any cost having these refugees coming from Central America? And if we are, what is that cost? And then my third part is, if we're incurring a cost, are we sending that bill to the feds? Thank you.
No, the answer is no, we're not. And when we put together this volunteer effort, no, we're not incurring costs. When we put together this volunteer effort, when I got involved with it, I was very, very explicit in saying this needs to be a community response. Catholic Community Services, as I mentioned, is involved with it. The Jewish Federation, lots of faith-based groups, and probably 200 volunteers. And so the city of Tucson is not paying for this. We get donations at the Ward 6 office, and CCS gets them, and Temple Emmanuel gets them, blankets and food and clothing and snugglies and all the stuff that you would need for a multi-day bus trip. So no, the taxpayers are not funding this, but I would say the flip side of that is yes, the community who cares from a humanitarian standpoint is stepping up to the plate and taking care of these people's needs.
Okay, Steve Kasachek, I'm going to wrap it up with you, but a personal question about your running. People have seen you running around town, not only in your ward, but we've seen you all over town. And I wondered if this high humidity, which seems like it would be, you'd cut back perhaps on the 20 miles a day that you do to 18 or something.
I go 12, 13 miles on a normal day, and I will tell you that it was pretty cool this morning between 6 and 6:30 getting drenched. That was pretty neat.
So do you have do you do different areas of the city or pretty much same?
Oh, I change them every day, or Walter and Roger and Christopher would be out looking for me. So yeah, no, I change my route every day.
You have to, of course, for security reasons.
There you go.
All right. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for spending part of your lunch hour with us.
Okay, thank you both.
All right. Steve Kasachek with us on The Buckmaster Show. Sarah's going to stick around, and Dan Scheer, our friend from Green Valley, will join us on our Friday roundtable right after this.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan Bottled Water Delivery Service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan Bottled Water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push now on toward about 12:37 on this Friday afternoon. It's been kind of a strange week. Weather has been the dominant story. First, let me welcome Dan Shear to the Buckmaster Show microphones. Dan Shear, the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. And actually, this gives me an opportunity to publicly thank both Sarah and you, Dan, for sitting here in the center microphone while I was enjoying some really kind of early fall, absolutely gorgeous weather up in Banff, Lake Louise, Jasper National Park. We saw a whole family of mountain goats at a rest stop, you know, where you pull off to the side of the road. Here's like 15 mountain goats.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, what the heck? I guess they came up from the canyon, from the river or something, jumped over the little fence there, and were waiting for people perhaps to stop and feed them at the the rest stop.
Domesticated goats.
Could be. Goats are very smart.
It's a tourist thing.
Anyway, had a great trip. Thanks, both of you, for hosting for me. Both of you did a great job. What a strange week. You know, the thing with the weather, and as I recall, and I don't know if Sarah might have been here 17 years ago. Was that?
I was here.
Okay. There was a hurricane, and again, I think it was Hurricane Nora.
Hurricane Snora.
So, yeah, there you go. Well, you know where I'm going with this. And we had a big deal. A lot of media from all over the country came to this thing, and I remember going to the briefing the day before it was supposed to hit. Kind of had a similar path, came up from Baja. Tucson was going to take a direct hit, and the Weather Service put up 100% chance of rain. Now, I can't remember if they've done that 100% chance of rain. I'm sure there's maybe been an occasion or two since then.
Right.
But when I saw the 100% chance of rain, I immediately thought, oh my goodness, they're jinxing it. And because right. because Hurricane Nora, it just didn't happen. The Star headline was "Watch out for raindrops" or something.
Right, right. Something like 4 drops.
Yeah,
pummeled.
Right.
Yeah. It's like the Wildcats being on the cover of Sports Illustrated or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I do have to say that people are saying like, "Oh, the media overplayed it." But what if it had hit? Mm-mm. Then
sure.
we would have been really.
Yeah.
We would have been prepared. So I don't give. an inch to people who complain like, oh, they overhyped it.
We had to be prepared. Yeah, there's no question about it. But I think where I'm going with all this is maybe the Weather Service, Dan, might want to rethink about the 100% thing, especially with us living here in the desert, you know, that maybe, like, could they do 95%?
Would that have made you do something differently?
No, but it just kind of covers.
Gives you a little wiggle room.
It covers them.
Yeah.
Well, we did get rain. You know, we got a little bit of rain, so I guess they were technically right. But I'm with Sarah. I've heard from a couple of people who said, you know, you threw a scare into us. And you know what? Sometimes doing that is the thing to do to keep people indoors, which is what they really wanted. Mm-hmm. And in this desert area, and I'm from the Phoenix area, but down here it's far, far worse. That sheet flooding, it just happens so quickly, and the roads are just consumed by water, particularly Sarita Road heading east, which is mm-hmm. what we're concerned about, out to Vail and Corona de Tucson. That is just an awful road, and it can come up to you on you unexpectedly. So we did absolutely the right thing. By the time we went to press Tuesday night with the headline that said, "Here it comes," mm-hmm. we were taking a direct hit. Yeah. And that it veered off, you know what? Nobody could be happier than I. So, yeah. But they absolutely did the right thing. Sarita Schools, probably the only district in this area that did call off school for Thursday. I think they did absolutely the right thing. A lot of people don't know that they cover 600 square miles, mm-hmm. that a lot of these kids are not only dropped off by the bus, but then they have to walk a mile through a desert to their homes, and who knows what they're crossing or coming across. So they made the best decision at the time, and we would definitely support that. It was a good decision.
There were areas, Sarah, that Nogales, Sonora was hammered 8 inches, Cochise County, mm-hmm. A lot of terrible flooding over in Cochise County.
Yeah, so, I mean, just because it didn't, I mean, we should be glad mm-hmm. that it didn't pelt Tucson, and think about the people who really were affected in Nogales, mm-hmm. Sonora, and in Cochise County, and to the point about, you know, preparation, and Dan's point about the flooding, we just have to go back a week to
Monday.
Two people died.
Sure.
So, yeah, I know people like to poke fun and say, it's overrated, but I think it's something that, you know, are you going to be in bad shape because you have a couple extra sandbags or flashlights or granola bars?
Right, big deal. And I'm glad for particularly down in our area, the first responders, they took it seriously. And I don't think they overdid anything. They activated the site in Sarita, which is basically an emergency center, and they were ready. And that I would much rather have that than be caught flat-footed.
Yeah, and I think that this shows that even with all the very complex technology, and there must be at least a dozen models that the National Hurricane Center uses. I'm kind of a weather buff, so I look at a lot of that stuff, and it just shows that when it comes to tropical events, the wind is really what is driving this event. It's a wind-driven weather event, and that wind shift made all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. And then now look at our terrain down here with the mountains, mm-hmm. and then, as you say, the wind, and then you have this tropical storm blowing through. You just didn't know what was going to happen. But I'll tell you, as of late Tuesday, it still looked very, very bad, and preparing people was absolutely the right thing to do.
Let's see if we can work in. Dan has called us on the live line. He has a comment about hurricanes. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, thank you. I'm amazed that these newspaper people are not aware of the fact that when these storms hit the southeast, that the government and the Weather Service recommend that they clear out the people away from the coast, and particularly down in the Florida Keys, up to 48 hours ahead of time. They can't predict exactly what's going to happen. It depends on pressure patterns and many things. And these people on your program suggesting that this is supposed to be an exact science really need to have a much more education.
I don't think that we do are suggesting that's an exact science, and also clearing out 48 hours ahead of time. The one thing we don't have also is an ocean, and that matters also. So no, I disagree with you. I think we're understanding this thing perfectly, and the fact is we were told Tucson was going to take a direct hit, and that's what we reported, and we were warning people, and we did absolutely the right thing.
Yeah, I didn't hear you, Sarah and Dan, talk about an exact science. In fact, we were just pointing out that the computer models are computer models, and they are not an exact science, right, as we were witnessing with the wind shift. But to try to evacuate.
But when the Mike Cantori from the Weather Channel shows up,
yeah,
that's when you know something's going to happen.
That's a jinx, because I think the last time, I think he said the last time he was in Tucson was for Hurricane Nora in 1997.
That should have been the giveaway.
Yeah, the next time he should change his plans. We spent a little longer on the weather than I wanted to, but we had that dust up about Russell Pierce and the column, or the things he said on his radio show. Why would he say something like that on the radio?
Well, he says that those words weren't his, talking about how women
talk about mandatory birth control implants for women receiving Medicaid benefits.
Right. Yeah. He's saying that the words weren't his. He doesn't say he doesn't agree with them. And, you know, I think when you're so used to talking in an echo chamber with people who agree with you, and that the idea that someone else might hear and disagree.
It is broadcasting.
Right. I mean, that's...
Anybody who's listening, yes.
Yeah, will they be part of the...
Not narrowcasting.
Right. I guess my thought was, will this be it? Are we all done with them? And again, not that he doesn't have a right to say what he believes. First of all, I wish he would own his words, and I don't think he has.
Kind of tried to walk that back a little bit.
Absolutely, he did. And that's part of that echo chamber that Sarah talks about, because at some point you meet reality. Usually it's when you open the door and walk out of the radio studio and you go, oh, wow, not everybody does agree with me. So I think he had one of those moments.
Hey, Dan, congratulations. You broke that Border Patrol agent story, the agent not being charged in the May 30th Green Valley shooting last week. What was the bottom line? Why was he not charged?
Well, the bottom line, the only thing that we learned from the county attorney when they decided not to seek charges in this was that the person the agent was pursuing turned around twice, not just once as we had thought, and acted as if he was going to shoot the agent. In other words, he kind of had a stance and punched out is the terminology that they use. So there was that. The question, though, is why was, if you feel threatened, why was the guy shot in the back of the head? And that's what's kind of reverberating out there. I don't think anybody's real surprised at the decision not to prosecute. My question, but there is, by the way, an internal investigation still going on with this that, of course, Border Patrol will not tell us anything about, but there is something going on inside, and they won't tell us whether the agent has returned to work yet.
The Duvall-Ducey debate, and of course, there was the Libertarian Party candidate, this Barry Hess. I mean, Barry, you know, I've been around this community a long time, and it seems like every 4 years,
yes,
this man is out at these debates, and he has the right to be there. There is a small percentage that he is representing in the Libertarian Party. But when you do have that third person out there, you don't really get that after hosting quite a few of these events and with Mr. Hess being on board. I mean, he always comes up with some great one-liners
right,
and stuff.
Right, he does.
But you don't get that one-on-one with the two principals.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
Right. And so it's kind of, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, either we can say with pretty much with certainty that either Mr. Duvall or Mr. Ducey is going to be elected. Yeah. It would take all manner of events for a third party candidate to be elected governor in Arizona. So, but you're right, that third party, while whether it's Mr. Hess or someone else, Joe Sweeney, rest in peace, would bring
that a perennial candidate little here locally.
That little certain something to the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think in one way it's really interesting because you can see how the two main party candidates kind of react to that destabilizing force in a discussion, but it also does take up some of the oxygen, and you don't get the back and forth between the two main candidates.
Yeah.
Yeah, the person tends to be comic relief, and I have moderated several debates that have been just like that, and I'm not saying to exclude them, but what generally comes to light is that they're not really up on the issues, and the one-liners often are just masking their ignorance.
The baby elephant, did you happen to check it out this morning at the Reed Park Zoo?
No, I was reading with first graders, but I really wanted to be there because I would like to give her a hug.
Yeah.
Just like the rest of Tucson.
Can I give my choice for the, this is the contest to name the baby elephant at the Reed Park Zoo. The baby elephant is now 1 month old, and the Tucson, I think that you guys at the Star are running a contest.
Yeah.
Well, my choice is Monsoon for the baby elephant.
I don't know that that's one of the choices.
Oh, it isn't?
I mean, it needs to be, I think it means monsoon. It means rain. One Emmy. I keep thinking it's uvula, and that is not the right word.
No.
Yeah, they're tightly controlling this this contest here, apparently, Bill. But
yeah, it's Nandi or Imvula, I think, are the two choices.
Okay. But anyway, everybody should go out to the... Oh, thank you, Rose, for pulling up a nice picture there.
And she is just precious.
There's the baby elephant. And the public is going to get a chance. This was kind of just the little preview thing, but I think starting next week, everybody's going to get a chance to come out and say hello to the baby elephant. So we're going to let it go right there. Rose, is that going to about do it? Or do we have another minute or so? Is that... got one more minute. So, you know, we didn't get a chance to get into some other political stuff about independence, getting back to the governor's race. It's
a good elephant GOP segue.
Yeah,
that was good.
Thank you. Thank you. Dan, it's going to take a huge – Fred Duvall needs to really hit – big time with the home run with the independents.
He absolutely does, and I'm surprised that he's as close as he is right now, to be honest with you. It's a much more interesting race than we thought, but you're right, it's going to come down to the independents, and we'll see if he can win them over. So real interesting race, and that's good to see.
Because GOP registration advantage has gone to the Dems over the last 4 years.
Yeah. Yes,
but
it has.
Meanwhile, the independents keep coming up, so he's got to really win the independents.
Yes, it all comes down to independents.
Okay, but the polls still show that it is very close between Duvall and Ducey. Ducey will be with us Monday here on the Buckmaster Show and our continuing Let's Talk to as Many Candidates as Possible. I think we've got 35 between now and Election Day.
Well,
Dan and Sarah, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You have a great
thank
weekend.
Thank you.
All right, be right back with Weekend Watch.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad
is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Everyone is invited to tour Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson during its all-day 10th anniversary celebration Saturday, October 4th. There will be something for everyone, including live action in the surgery department and doctor dress-up for the kids. Plus, your tour pass doubles as a raffle ticket with a chance to win great prizes. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, home of Specialty Vets for Special Pets. Time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. This weekend, it's the 10th annual Gila River Festival. Come and celebrate the United States' first wilderness river area. It is so beautiful right now over in Silver City with all the rain. You talk about a beautiful green area to go to, just 3 hours east of Tucson. And it should be a great weekend over there. You can find out about the great places to stay, places like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Bear Creek Cabins, and things to do at their fine website, Silver City Grant County. And the website is southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome now inside Tucson food and beverage columnist and award-winning publicist, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing great. Just planning my culinary and cocktail calendar as we speak.
Yeah, and should be a pretty nice weekend. Actually, gorgeous weekend. The rain around the area really cleared the air. What if we're in the mood for a little brewery stuff?
Yeah, you know, Bill, tonight's the night that local craft beer enthusiasts have been waiting for all year long. It's the opportunity to help crown the best beer in Southern Arizona, and it's called Born and Brewed, Tucson's Beer Cup. And that event gets underway tonight at 7 o'clock at the Hotel Congress, and you'll have the chance to sample the suds from more than 10 local brewers and cast your vote for which one you think has the winning profile. Now, along with the beer, you'll enjoy food from the Cup Cafe, live music, and me, as I'll be your MC for the night. $35 at the door gets you in, and suffice it to say, my palate is officially prepared.
How many beers will they have?
More than 10 local brewers are going to be on hand.
And you'll be sipping a little bit of each one, so that you should...
A little there.
Wow, what a master of ceremonies you'll be after sipping. Oh, okay. Anybody for French fries? What's this all the hype? Or a lot of excitement around U.S. fries.
Yeah, more than 10 different varieties of French fries are on the menu at a new place that just opened up on 4th Avenue, and what better place to call it, as you said, U.S. fries. Now, their specialty is the popular dish known as the poutine, of course, that features fries drenched in brown gravy and cheese curds. But several variations on that theme are also available, like the Philly cheesesteak poutine, a curry chicken poutine, and the one that got my eye, the pulled pork poutine. You know, there's a version of fries for every taste, so why not check out U.S. Fries this weekend and discover the poutine that's perfect for your personality.
Yeah, put some white gravy all over my fries, please. There you go.
Yes, sir.
Arizona's got great restaurants. Restaurant Week is really getting kicked off, isn't it?
Yeah, foodies from across Southern Arizona are going to be hitting the streets for the annual Arizona Restaurant Week, which launches this weekend. And for the next 9 days, several eateries across town are going to be featuring special three-course menus that are packaged up together for some incredibly low prices, all in celebration of the food town that is Tucson. Restaurants like Wildflower, Acacia, North, and Union Public House are getting in the action, as are many others, far too many to mention here. So check out ArizonaRestaurantWeek.com for a complete list of the restaurants and their menus, and fill your calendar with some delicious nights out.
We'll see you at the Beer Cup. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Again, a big shout out. This is the birthday week for Al over at Culligan. Al, thanks so much for your support. The Buckmaster Show, produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content on behalf of the team. Producer Rosemary Brandt, all of our friends here at KVOI, The Voice. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.